Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
I think we can agree that nightmares are not very desirable, but you may not be aware that they're also quite bad for your health. So how can we cure somebody of something that isn't really happening except inside their head? Well, Michelle Carr is the director of the Dream Engineering Lab at Montreal Centre for Advanced Research in Sleep Medicine. She's author of Into the Dream Lab, The New Science of Dreams and Nightmares. She joined me now. Welcome to the programme, Michelle. We actually very recently kind of touched on lucid dreaming. And so I really want to focus in this piece on nightmares, because I suppose when it happens to people, a nightmare can actually both be traumatic within the dream, but they can often recur. Do we know anything about nightmares as opposed to dreams, and why they can actually revisit people over and over again?
Yeah, so nightmares very often tend to have recurring themes, and they can be traumatic, as you said, in people who have experienced trauma or any kind of adversity or significant stress in their life. The nightmare often either incorporates elements of that event from their life, potentially replaying a trauma that someone has experienced, or it can be more symbolically related to a stressful event someone's experienced. So an example might be someone who has recurring tidal wave dreams where they feel like they're completely overwhelmed and helpless in the face of this natural disaster. And, you know, the dream is not literally representing any kind of waking life stress, but it's emotionally representing how someone is feeling. And these nightmares can recur on a weekly basis, really interfering with sleep and causing a lot of emotional distress on awakening as well, and kind of dragging on throughout the day and interfering with life in that way.
That all sounds very plausible, but is there anything, I mean, because, you know, there are people out there who read horoscopes and, you know, who read tea leaves and so on. Is there any good evidence to explain what's actually causing a nightmare, and that it, that, you know, that what's physically happening in a dream or what's, you know, what's happening in a nightmare is actually a representation of the struggles people are going to? Because I kind of feel like there's a bit of soft gray area there where, you know, mm-hmm. I could have a nightmare and I could attribute it to anything bad that happened to me that day. I'm just wondering what evidence we have that our nightmares are reflecting what's going on in our real life in a more vivid way.
Yeah, I mean, it ties into dream science more generally. We do know that dreams are very frequently incorporating little bits of memory from recent life. And we can see these memory traces from the past day or from the past week getting incorporated into dreams. And with nightmares, you know, we might see somebody say they have, you know, they go through a stressful event, like their parents get divorced or something, and then suddenly they start experiencing this nightmare.
So, I mean, maybe, is there evidence to suggest that if someone has gone through a traumatic event, they're more likely to have nightmares? Because I was thinking myself, right? I'm a big horror fan. I like to watch horror films. I never get a nightmare as a result of those. But when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time, I did. And I guess one was a proper visceral fear that I had as a child. And now I'm not really scared. So I'm wondering, you know, is there solid evidence to suggest that if you are experiencing something traumatic, that you're more likely to have a negative dream?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean, there's very strong links between experiencing trauma and developing post-traumatic nightmares, or even experiencing low levels of adversity. Even someone who experiences more stress in childhood, they're going to have more frequent nightmares in adulthood. There's been quite a lot of studies showing that.
And in terms of the content of those, you know, like why someone has a particular type of dream, that association you talked about, you know, someone being overwhelmed, then they have a mm-hmm. tidal dream. Is that relationship sort of fluffy? Or it must be hard to interpret, right?
Well, the tidal wave example is kind of interesting, because it actually came out of a clinician's research who was working with people who had PTSD, and they suffered from all different types of trauma, but he started seeing common dream themes like this that are symbolically representing someone's emotions. And it seems like that's just one example, but, you know, another example might be dreams of falling into blackness, where you just feel like, you know, you're falling into the abyss and there's nothing you can grab onto. And the relationship is not fully understood yet, but it is clear that these types of dreams do happen more frequently after somebody experiences a trauma or stress in waking life. So we don't know how that stress is transforming into this symbolic dream, but it does seem like that relationship exists.
So how do you go about scientifically monitoring something like a nightmare?
Well, we have a sleep lab that we primarily, we invite subjects into our lab. They sleep in the bedrooms in our lab. We hook them up to electrodes and kind of keep track of their brain activity and bodily activity while they're sleeping. And we're basically watching them from another room, and we wake them up and collect dream reports. Sometimes we invite people who have nightmares or PTSD into the lab to specifically study how their dreams might differ from other healthy subjects.
And when you see these people who are having nightmares, when you're having a nightmare, you feel like it's often your activity, your physical activity, you feel like it's very high, like you're jerking around or you're running or whatever. It feels, when you're having a nightmare, that your body must be doing a lot of work. And I guess seeing someone have a nightmare, is that typically the case, that the body, the physical body, is jerking around a lot? Why would that be?
Right. Yeah. Normally during REM sleep, our body is actually pretty good at kind of suppressing any sort of physical movements and trying to keep us relatively still and calm during REM sleep, even while we're having these vivid dreams. But there is research showing that people who have nightmares, they have, in general, a more aroused REM sleep, but particularly at the end of a nightmare, you might see some increases in heart rate or respiration rate. Maybe some increased, we see like muscle twitches in the body, like their body is more active potentially.
Mm. And so this stress in dream can also relate to the body in real life, right? Like the Nightmare on Elm Street film is all about, you know, the crossover between reality and the dream world. Mm-hmm. And in the case of stress that you experience in a dream, that's still physical stress to the body. Is that right?
We think so, yeah. And it's stress, physical stress, that can kind of, first of all, linger just after awakening. I mean, it's often very hard to calm yourself down after having a nightmare. People want to get out of bed and really, really shake off the feeling, because it really lingers physically. Mm. But we also see like kind of spikes in stress hormones after a nightmare, and, you know, differences in how someone physically feels, their energy levels the day following a nightmare. So there's potentially all sorts of physical effects downstream from experiencing a nightmare.
And we know that sort of level of stress regularly happening is not good for the body, right? I mean, can you identify, you know, through increased stress or cortisone or whatever, someone who might be, you know, a regular nightmare sufferer?
I don't think we're there yet. I think we're just starting to really understand this link between nightmares and physical health. It's rather new, you know, that nightmares are being taken so seriously for how consequential they can be on not just mental health, but physical health and sleep health as well. So I think we're still trying to understand the links, but we are seeing, you know, people with autoimmune disorders, people with different types of substance use, and there's evidence that nightmares might be at play in these other physical health conditions as well.
So talk to me about the science. What research are you conducting at the moment? And what answers are you trying to find to what sort of questions?
Well, there's a bunch of different research going on in the lab at the moment, but some of the things we're looking at are how emotional memories are incorporated into dreams, and we're trying to study that more kind of empirically in the lab using pre-sleep tasks and looking at how they get incorporated into someone's dreams over the course of the night, and whether we can influence that using different types of sensory stimulation. So can we get someone to dream more about a particular memory by essentially reminding them of that memory with like an audio cue or flashing lights, for example, while they're sleeping?
So what, you're trying to build a Pavlovian response while someone's sleeping?
Exactly.
They hear a bell or they smell something and it reminds them to have a good dream?
Yeah, that's exactly the concept.
Does that work?
So you use it works a little bit. Yeah, I mean it's not like Inception level. We're constructing people's dreams, but we can get them to be generally more positive or negative, or incorporate certain elements. Like one of their studies, we're using films that people are watching prior to sleep, and we're seeing incorporation of certain characters or scenes in people's dreams through replaying bits of a soundtrack just as they're falling asleep and in REM sleep. And other work has used, you know, potentially smells, like a pleasant scent versus a really unpleasant odor might influence the emotional content in dreams. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to kind of nudge someone's dream content, influence it to be maybe more emotional or more physical, you know, things like it.
The subconscious, of course, is sort of folded in with our experiences and our memories. And there are conditions that sort of live in this space. Things like PTSD, for example, where people are conscious, but they are suffering from a stress from an ingrained memory. Is there any of your work, because I know you're interested in this area, is there any work to suggest that working in dreams in the same way as magic mushrooms might seems to show a little bit of promise, and even VR and augmented reality, to sort of loosen up the reality a bit, to maybe shake some of these negative associations that we might have with a particular traumatic episode?
Well, yeah, it's absolutely the case that treating nightmares in post-traumatic stress disorder can be very beneficial, not only for reducing nightmares, but generally improving someone's health, like reducing their PTSD symptoms, even potentially reducing them to such an extent that someone no longer suffers from PTSD. So,
wow, really?
Yeah, it seemed like working through the dream and the nightmare does seem like, I like the examples you used, it seems like it's helping to kind of rewrite some of these really negative and ingrained memory associations that someone has built up following a trauma.
And this is work that you've done, or you've observed in others or read of others?
I've worked a bit with different types of nightmare treatments, not necessarily in PTSD, but there's a lot of my collaborators and clinicians who work with PTSD patients. And the primary nightmare treatment is really quite simple. It's just the matter of, you know, someone has this recurring nightmare over potentially decades, and you just want to work with them to reimagine a new dream scenario and rewrite the dream into something that's more resolved and feels more empowering to the person. And they just visualize this for, you know, 10 or 20 minutes a day just prior to going to sleep. And that alone can essentially resolve and reduce nightmares and improve sleep and improve mental health. It's just a matter of, you know, engaging with the dream and intentionally trying to influence it, rather than what we tend to do, which is just completely ignore them, avoid them, and try not to think about them. So they just keep repeating.
So yeah, just picking up on something you said there. You said that some people live with nightmares for sometimes decades. Is that common?
I mean, in cases of PTSD, yeah, it is quite common that for decades, you can have the same nightmare repeating on a weekly basis, or maybe multiple times a week. That's really, really interfering with someone's sleep. And
I presume those people don't want to go to sleep for fear of having the nightmare.
Yeah, that's something that develops called fear of sleep, where people really, they avoid going to bed. They get out of bed whenever they wake up from a dream. They're really scared of having the nightmare. And it really amplifies kind of the negative situation and the unhealthy sleep patterns. Yeah.
In your lab or with your work, has anyone successfully stopped those nightmares from happening? I can't imagine what a relief that would be to somebody.
I mean, with general nightmares, I mean, nightmare disorder as well, it's something where people can have nightmares for their whole life. Potentially, they're not the same exact nightmare, which is more common in PTSD, but suffering from the same thematic nightmares for many years, those can be resolved through treatment for sure.
Wow. God, I mean, I really can't imagine. So what about other things that again reside in the brain? Like, for example, pain is created in the brain to help us, you know, avoid harming ourselves permanently. But of course, when signaling goes wrong or something gets scrambled in our brains, chronic pain can keep giving us a signal, even sometimes when there's no harm to our tissues present. Right. So what about chronic pain? Has there been any use in your field of addressing, you know, nightmares or dreams to try and address, you know, that pain association that can sometimes be persistent?
Yeah, chronic pain is an interesting example because it is, there is often potentially a physical basis, but it's, as you're explaining, like, there's a very strong mind-body association. Mm. So pain is really amplified by the emotional distress that people associate to their pain. And we know that people with chronic pain, they do experience more nightmares, and they also, they have more physical symptoms and physical pain within their dreams, which for most people is actually really rare to experience physical pain within your dreams. And there's been just a couple of case reports so far suggesting that potentially using lucid dreaming and trying to instill more positive or more, well, different types of maybe like a really blissful bodily experience as opposed to
a painful
bodily experience, yeah, that this can help to maybe shift that mental association and decrease pain symptoms in waking life. It's really, really preliminary right now, but in my mind, it's similar to some of the waking therapies that are offered as complements for managing chronic pain, where people go through visualizations of trying to reduce the distress and kind of their negative mental attitude around their pain to help them to manage symptoms and decrease symptoms in waking life.
So all of that makes sense to me, but I'm wondering, you know, how is your field perceived by other researchers within psychology or psychiatry? Because, you know, having a dream lab, I'm just wondering, is this a field that is taken very seriously with, you know, with great scientific rigor, or are there some people who are critical of the fact that it's difficult to pin down something like the consciousness and measure what's happening when we sleep with any level of accuracy?
Yeah, I think that the field is going through a bit of a shift right now in that regard. I think, you know, historically, dream science has not been taken too seriously, and it's seen as something that's very difficult to study scientifically, which is somewhat true. but in the past 5 years or so, I've really seen that a lot of independent clinical fields in psychiatry, in sleep health, in even physical medicine, that independent researchers from kind of neighboring fields are starting to look at dreams and to look at nightmares and to look at how these types of interventions can really have beneficial effects for patients with disorders all across medical fields.
Wow.
So I sense that there's really kind of a shift occurring, and dreams are starting to be taken more seriously in general.
And our ability to understand them using better technologies and better techniques is going to make it a very interesting area of research in the next decade or so. Michelle Carr from the Dream Lab, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.